Very happy and thankful to be with y'all here at Little Union Church in the Florida Fellowship meeting, and I've just feel just very blessed to have been here and enjoying the fellowship and the singing and the preaching, and pray that that will continue through this sermon and especially through the next sermon. And I pray that I really meant that, and it came out wrong, but told Robbie I wouldn't throw off on any of my brothers behind the pulpit, and if that came out negatively, I misspoke. But I am very happy to be with my brothers, my natural brothers, and my brothers and sisters in Christ. So my kind of family reunion when we're together like this. Yeah. As Elder Cunningham is preaching to us about hope and being addicted to hope, certainly it is easier to be addicted to hope when our life and our mind is focused upon the great object of our hope, the author and finisher of our faith, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's focused upon humanity, no wonder you're depressed. If you're depressed, you're focusing it on something else than the Lord Jesus Christ. And it may be the circumstance, or it may be somebody you're mad at, or you may be mad at yourself, but get over that and look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible is filled with many, many scriptures about hope and about our Lord that helps us in this life. Certainly, there are a lot of trials and tribulations that we encounter. It's hard to fight bitterness. It's hard to fight being just not to the point where we feel like it's even worth it to go on and continue. Those things come from the devil. We ought to give it right back to the devil. And we ought to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who triumphed over death, hell, and the grave. And that's the picture, the vision that I would like to speak to you this evening, if the Lord would bless. I personally do not like to see images of our Lord on the cross. Nor do I feel our churches should be adorned with such. I believe we ought to preach the cross. Paul said, I have determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I just feel, though, that a depiction or an image of that is an image of the shame that he bore on the cross. But chiefly of all, that in the Holy Scriptures, that is not where the Bible leaves the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God. All right? He was on the cross for 6 hours. They took him down from the cross, and he is the only man that ever borrowed a tomb and gave it back. All right? You know what I'm saying? Now, he was in that tomb 3 days and three nights, but he didn't need it longer than that. He gave it right back to him. Because when they looked inside, it was empty. And the stone had been rolled away. The apostles' last vision, or one of the last visions they saw of him, is ascending up into glory. And the angel said, why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus that you saw go up in heaven shall come again in like manner. It is important what we think of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord even asked, what think ye of Christ? What do y'all think of Christ? What do you think of him? He's a pretty nice fella, right? What is your vision when I say the Lord? What do you think of? Exactly. But I believe, yes, that he's a Savior, but there's an adjective, and I appreciate that, but there's an adjective I want to put in front of that. He is a victorious Savior. Let's try another one. A conquering Savior. I like this one too. He is a successful Savior. We don't say he was on the cross, but he's not on there anymore. All right. Thank Thank the Lord he came to the cross. If he didn't, we would be in our sins. He went to the tomb, but he rose from the grave. Thanks be unto God that he rose from the grave. We would still be in our sins. And so I want to leave, and I don't think I'm going to preach very long. Don't get all shouting happy about that. But Mike needs a lot of time to develop his point, so. he really does. He takes a long time to get there. But once he gets there, it's pretty good. So hang with him. Now, I'm not like him. I get right to it. And so we're going to go to Psalms 68. All right, Psalms. That was pretty funny, wasn't it? Psalm 68. Psalm 68. I want to read in verse 17. And I really want to get to verse 18. But we'll set it up with Psalm 68, verse 17. The chariots of God are 20,000. Even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. That's really good. But listen to this. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. The Apostle Paul quotes this again in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. But I want to stay with this reference. And this is a picture that I want us to focus on of Jesus Christ. Especially that mentioned in verse 8. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men. Now, I heard this preached all my life, and I never got it. It was the only thing I didn't get, right? But this was one thing. I didn't get the picture that's being presented. I get it now. I want to try to present it to you. If God's going to have to bless me to do it. So y'all, let's pray together. Let's focus. Back in the days that this scripture was written, even to when the Apostle Paul quoted it in reference in the book of Ephesians, it was a custom for a general or a king, after he had gone to battle and had won and had triumphed over the enemies, would come back to the capital city in a triumphant parade. The Romans called this a triumph. And oftentimes they would lead the enemies that they had conquered shamefully through the city. They would parade them. Sometimes if they had captured the king, he would be led shamefully through. And the general or the king would stand in a high position and glorious conquering majesty. And in appreciation, he would, in celebration of this victory, he would bestow upon the citizens gifts, maybe even the spoil of war, a monetary gift or something. But they would all share in this, and they would celebrate, and they would rejoice, and they would triumph. This is the picture I want us to have of Jesus Christ. Amen on the cross. But this is where we should now focus, even especially in meetings like this. My beloved, he went to the cross. He submitted unto death. and became obedient unto death. And in that he triumphed over death and over sin and the penalty of sin. He fulfilled the law and he led captivity captive. He led death and hell and the grave. Maybe we can even put it ourselves, our former depraved nature. Every enemy conquered, defeated, and he alone stands in triumph. Amen. That's our King, my friends. He's not a wimp. All right? He's not a sissy. He's a real man. He's a conquering hero. He's better than Superman. He's better than Batman even. He's Jesus Christ. He's better than any preacher. He's better than any president, king, general. He's better than any figment of imagination. He's better than fiction. He's better than nonfiction. He triumphs over all. He is the one that we have come to worship. He's the reason we're here. And he's the source of our hope. And he's the only reason we can be happy. Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're not here because of that, you need to find the right reason. That's why we're here. If you've done any good, he gets the glory and the credit for it. If you've got any hope within you, no matter how large or small, it came from him and it's all about him. If you've got a reason to gripe, get over it. If you've got something on your mind that's other than the Lord Jesus Christ, get rid of it. Right now, my friends, this is a good time to start thinking about this man, our conquering hero, and dedicate our life to him. Amen. If you haven't joined the church, what's the matter with you? Amen. If you feel like you want to preach the gospel and you're scared of it, well, you ought to be. But preach anyway. Amen. If you want to make Brother Julian happy and give money to the church, I suggest you do it. I want to make him happy too. But it's not about me. And it's not about Brother Julian. It's not about you joining the church. It's not about we're all going to pat you on the back and say, good job, way to go. I said, no, you should have done this a long time ago. I should have done it long before I did. But it's one of the best things I've ever did. That's one thing in my life I do not regret, joining the Primitive Baptist Church. And if you left the Primitive Baptist Church, you didn't have to come back, what's the matter with you? I tell you what, you're hanging on to some gripes. You're hanging on to something that's keeping you from full enjoyment of the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Get over it and get on with it. Amen. My friends, I tell you what, he's not wringing his hands waiting for you anyway. That's how good our Savior is. You think he's just waiting on you? No, you ought to go to him. You ought to dedicate your life to him. You ought to serve him because he is worthy to be praised. Amen. I'm nobody. He's everything. It's not about us. It's not about being a Primitive Baptist. It's not about the London Confession of Faith. It's not even about the Fulton Confession of Faith. It's not about Sylvester Hassel or C.H. Casey or anybody else, but it's about Jesus Christ. Amen. He led captivity captive. He gave gifts unto men. Even to those, I like what he said. Let me just finish read that. He said he has received gifts unto men. Yea, for the rebellious also. Amen. That's me and that's you. I haven't always been obedient. I have been rebellious more times than I've been obedient. Thanks be unto God, salvation's by grace. But he's better than I am. He triumphs even over my will. He has defeated every one of his enemies. He has led them captive. He's distributed gifts to his subordinates. He's defeated every one of them. My friends, he's given gifts even to the rebellion. I like what the scripture says. The Lord said unto my Lord. Who do you think's doing the talking there? That's interesting language, isn't it? The Lord said unto my Lord. I think God the Father spoke to God the Son. And what did he say? Sit here while I make thy enemies thy footstool. Or I like what Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter 63. He said in Isaiah 63 verse 1, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. Who is this? Isaiah sees a man coming. He's coming out of enemy country, the land of the Edomites. He came out of the capital city of the enemy. And he's coming and he's red. He said, "Who is this that's coming out of Edom?" And that man answered him. And he says, "I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save." Who do you think that is? That's Jesus Christ. Now Isaiah is seeing a different Christ. Now please don't mix up my words. I do a good enough job already with that. How can I put that? I don't know. I'm going to have to trust the Lord on this one. All right, Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Y'all know that. He was wounded for our transgressions. In Isaiah 53 is presented the suffering, submissive Savior. All right? May I say that that is his first coming, when he came and suffered and bled and died for our sins. Okay, that's what Isaiah sees in chapter 53. Fast forward 10 chapters to Isaiah 63. Same Lord, but it's different this time. This time he's coming in glory, in triumph, and in righteousness. He took our chastisement upon us. By his stripes we are healed. That's Isaiah 53. Isaiah 63 says, "All right, I have defeated sin. Now I'm coming after everybody else." Amen. This is his second coming. There's refer backs to the first coming, because you can't have the second coming without the first coming. All right, or if he came back the second time without the first time, he's not coming back. That doesn't make any sense, but I agree with it. Well, that's the way your preaching is all the time, Dave. Yeah, I know. Okay, verse 2. "Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat?" You look like you've been stomping grapes. You mean you're just red. Why are you red in your apparel? And he says, "I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment, for the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come." This is when he's coming back the second time. My friends, when he takes vengeance on his enemies, when he defeats every one of them, and he brings us whom he redeemed in this first coming home to glory, what a day that will be. And that's what we see him: triumph, glory, awesome. What a Lord. This is a man worthy of following. This is a man worthy of giving up your life. This is a man shucking your pride for. This is a man you ought to get over what you ought to get over, and get on with it and serve and follow him, and you'll never be sorry. Amen. I may make you sorry, but Jesus won't. Amen. Congregations may make you sorry, but Jesus won't. My friends, I tell you what, you'll never go wrong doing the right thing and following the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at him. And Isaiah just sees him. And he says, "And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and in my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth." I'll destroy every single one of them. What a man. What a Savior. What a captain. What a general. What a king. I'm nothing, but he's everything. But he's given me everything. He has given gifts unto men. The unspeakable gift. The indescribable gift. The gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are going to paradise because of what Jesus did. He's taking us home someday. This isn't it. Don't get too at home right here. This is temporary. Abraham looked for a better place. He looked for a city that hath foundations. They don't exist down here. He looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. That wasn't the church. That was the eternal city that was paradise itself. Abraham saw a foretaste of it. He saw the day of Christ. He saw it and was glad. And his hope was renewed. But Abraham is there right now. I hope to be there someday. Someday, my friends. But what we've got here isn't bad, because we have this picture, this vision, this man that we pray to, that we go to in times of crisis, when we lose our loved ones, when our health begins to fail, when things begin to go awry, when things don't go according to plan or according to script. You know, I was going to make a lot more money at the age of 52. I was going to be a lot better looking. I was going to have a lot more hair, etc., etc., etc. But I'll tell you what, nothing went according to my plan, but I'm certainly glad that eternal life wasn't according to me, or I would have messed that one up too. But my beloved, it is, what is Peter saying? It is reserved in heaven for us. We can mess up a lot of stuff in life, but that's one thing we can't mess up. I don't think he trusts us to. But I've got trust in him. And I'm get ready, Mike. Get ready. Did he change expressions over there? I can't even stand. I can't even look over. In 1 Corinthians 15. The Apostle Paul writes, and he says in verse 21, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." By man, by Adam's transgression came death. As in Adam, all die. That's what we can brag about. Death. Paul even said, "When I would do good, evil is present in me." What's the matter with Paul? He's a no good bankrupt sinner. What's the matter with us? We're no good bankrupt sinners. We're good at sin, aren't we? That's one thing I'm good at. I've been practicing sin for 52 years. I keep getting better at it. I didn't have to teach my kids how to do it either. I've had to teach them to do a lot of things. And again and again and again, I never had to teach them how to lie, how to cheat, and how to do all sorts of stuff. They got it from me. I got it from so-and-so, so-and-so, all the way back to Adam. We're practicing sinners. Sinners by nature and by practice. By man came death. Sin, when it is finished, always brings forth death. But by man also, by Jesus, the second Adam, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. All in Adam die. But not all in Adam is the all in Christ. All right? But it's all whom God put in Christ shall be saved. Whether they hear the gospel or not, if they're in Christ, and how do they get to be in Christ? They are chosen in Christ before the world began. All right? So in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. That's the resurrection, the second coming. Then cometh the end. Here's the last day. Then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. My friends, he's going to lead captivity captive. He's going to put death to death. He's going to put hell, death, and the grave in the grave. Amen. And they're going to be gone forever. My friends, what are you afraid of? What's the matter? Are you afraid of the recession? Are you afraid of the bills? Are you afraid of this? Are you afraid of that? Are you afraid of this? My friends, Jesus Christ has conquered everything. You are safe in his hands. My beloved, we've got a lot to look forward to. Amen. This man right here that came, this man who as the meek lamb took our sins upon him, washed them away in his blood, went to the tomb, laid there 3 days and three nights, rose again under his own power. Can't understand it, but that's what he did. Rose from the grave, went to his Father, sat down at his right hand till all enemies are being defeated. Every time one of God's people is born again, that's another enemy defeated. That's right. Our sinful nature has been defeated by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now that means we're sinlessly perfect. But my friends, we are cleansed and we are brought to the Lord in regeneration. It cries, Abba Father. We ought to cry Abba Father back. It gives us life. We ought to act like we're alive. It gives us, my friends, that foundational hope and that foundational faith. We ought to act on it, walk in it, live in it, and rejoice in it. That's what we ought to do. That's what we've been doing today. Have you had a bad day? It's been a good day, hasn't it?
Amen.
I can't think of a better way to spend your day in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The only way better to spend the day is in being in heaven. One of these days we'll go there. There's a better meeting coming, my beloved. This church lost a member today. She's having a better meeting than we're having right now. She's seeing a better hope than we're seeing right now. She's seeing the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. That little baby that died there in Georgia knows more about Jesus than I've known. I've been studying about him for 52 years. He's seeing him face to face. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Now, friends, I'll tell you what. He's sitting at his right hand and all his enemies are being made his footstool. But when that last child of God is brought to divine life, when they are born again, he's going to rise up again and he's going to shout in triumph. And they're going to blow that last trumpet. He's going to stand. And he's going to pierce time and eternity. And he's going to stand in the air. And every eye shall see him. I don't know how that will happen. But it will happen. Every eye shall see him. All those saints, my friends, that have gone on to be with the Lord. They'll come back. They'll be brought back to their bodies. And we will all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be made immortal, incorruptible. And we will see him. And all we can do is just go to him. That's all we'll want to do. Is go to him. There's a lot of stuff I want to do in this life. But when I'm made immortal, and when I'm made incorruptible, I'll be single-minded then. I won't be scatterbrained, scattershot. I won't need this or that. I'll see my Savior as he is. And I'll be with him. And I'll praise him as I want to praise him. He's going to triumph again. That's what I want you to see of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not a pathetic sissy. Not one that's offering anything. He's more powerful than that. I'm not going to present one that's waiting on you to do something. It's too late. He already did it. He's already saved you. He wasn't waiting around on you. The bus has already gone. You missed it. You missed that bus. You were too late. You were too dead. You were too unregenerate. You couldn't catch that bus. The biggest voice preacher couldn't preach that loud to wake you. But I know one who can. The master preacher. And he preached one word. He said, live. And you lived. And you became his. He didn't check it out with you. He just took you. Are you mad about that? You ought to be feeling pretty good right now. He led captivity captive. In a sense, he led us captive. But he also gave us freedom. And he gave us gifts. And we're his. And he's not going to leave us here on this world. He's going to come home. He's going to come and stand in the air. And he's going to take us home. If the Lord said heaven or Texas, it's a no-brainer. Because Texas isn't home. Earth is a desert drear. I'm tired of it. Heaven is my home. Do you see
him high and lifted up? Do you see him conquering? Do you see him in triumph? I hope we can see it as much as we can. But just hold on to that, because someday you'll see him face to face. And what a day that will be.
God bless you, is my prayer. Amen.